Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. His presence is here. It's here. Praise and worship was awesome. And Father, we do exalt you. We do exalt you. Let's start off with prayer. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you. And your joy is our strength. And we have given the enemy a black eye and a kick in the gut. Hallelujah. And we just thank you. Have your way here tonight. Holy Spirit, come and dwell among us. Father, you are welcome in this place. We welcome you. Come in and have a seat with us. Dwell among us. All of you as I teach and none of me. Speak through me. I am a yielded, empty vessel. And I just thank you, Father. And right now, we bind every evil spirit. We bind every attack of the enemy that he has come against us tonight in this church and the people of the church. And we lose the peace of God. We lose the protection of God. And we just thank you, God. Have your way. We are your children tonight, and we are ready to eat. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope I don't forget my glasses right there. Hallelujah. Glory. God is good.
Yes, he is.
God is good. He is so good. Well, the title of my message tonight, as Deborah indicated, is Who or What is Behind It? But I want to start off first by reminding us, and sometimes we have to be reminded, just like we have to remind little ones. We have to be reminded because we can be little ones in the spirit. So we need to be reminded of some of the characteristics and the attributes of our Lord God. So I want to start off by that. First, and this is just a few, he's impartial. God does not esteem some people more importantly than anyone else. He's infinite. God is without limit and boundaries. Patient and long-suffering. Glory. Who, if he wasn't, where would we all be? He's merciful to us in that in his wrath he has withheld giving us to give us an opportunity to repent. Because back in the Old Testament, they didn't have any opportunities. God just struck them dead sometimes. You know what I'm saying? They disobeyed him, and they were gone. Praise God. We have Jesus now that's saying, Daddy, remember, you know, my blood, you know, remember the cross, remember. So we got Jesus right there. Glory. He's transcendent. God goes beyond all of our understanding in every aspect of his character. He's faithful. Whew. Unlike us. God is trustworthy and faithful. He will do what he says. God is love. The Bible, I found this on the internet, I can't remember where now, and I should have wrote that down and I didn't. The Bible states that love is what is doing what is right. God's pure and perfect love means that he will do the right thing in every case. His love is what we call agape love, which is, as we know, is unconditional love and unmerited. No matter how wicked we are, God's other attributes of grace, mercy, and patience are still in place, and he's waiting to pour out his love on us. But it must be remembered that his love means that he will do what is right and just in every case. Amen. When we discipline our children, we discipline them because we love them. They've done wrong, they get a punishment. They have to be disciplined. That's all part of love. God is immutable. He never changes. God never changes. And we need to understand that. He's self-sufficient. He has no needs. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Unlimited power. He is all-knowing, which means he knows everything. He is always everywhere. He is wise. He is full of perfect, unchanging wisdom. Wisdom is more than just head knowledge and intelligence. Therefore, this is one of the reasons why we should ask God for His wisdom each and every day, because it won't lead us wrong. And like I stated, that's just a few, just to get us going, so we will know who our Lord God is and we can recognize who or what is behind it. If we get to know the real thing, you can always spot a counterfeit quickly. Our Lord God is the one true God. He is the real God. Glory, hallelujah. Because when they're looking at counterfeit, you know, to understand counterfeit money, they look at the real thing. Because people can make different types of counterfeit dollars, slightly here, slightly there. But if you study the real thing, you will know when a counterfeit crossed your hands. Hallelujah. So we need to study the real God. That's the Bible God, not what somebody told us God. So we'll know the real thing when we start hearing stuff, either the enemy talking to us or people talking to us. You can recognize it. Jesse and I was listening to something the other night, and if we didn't know the word, we would have been caught up in it. Because he was saying some truth, sprinkling in some lies. Saying some truth, sprinkling in some lies. And we were both looking at each other real strange, like, okay, that's all good, but it ain't right. Because that's not Bible.
Right.
It sounds good,
right.
But it ain't Bible. Just like people tell us the old thing is, you know, forgive and forget. God never said to forget. Eventually we will when we truly forgive. But if you just forget, you're going to let them do the same thing to you again. God told us to forgive. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. John 10:10, the Amplified Version. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. John 10:10 in the Message. The thief is only there to steal and kill and to destroy. I came so that they can have real eternal life, more and better life than they can ever dream of. So think about the good things, the good life that you've thought about, that you've dreamed about, you've daydreamed about, sitting on an island. Well, not pastors, on the mountains with a lot of snow. Me on an island. But that perfect place that you've dreamed of, that's just perfect. Yeah. You know, pastors will probably want the temperature, what, 60, 55, 60, year round? Okay, lower. They want it lower. Y'all should have been in Indiana with Jessica then. They want it cold, okay? But think about that perfect place that you've dreamed of. God can give you even better.
Amen.
That's what His word says. Amen. A couple of things when I was studying this, and I've read this scripture, as you all have, so many times. But a couple of things stood out to me in this scripture for the first time ever. A few things for the first time ever. The word only, the word and also the word may. The thief does not come to us or to our situation for anything good. He does not come just to be coming, just to see what's going on, just to sit back and observe. He comes with a plan. He only comes to cause destruction, grief, and pain, to steal, kill, and destroy. I never noticed that one little word, only, before. That's the only reason He comes. He ain't coming just to chill. He's not. He ain't, oh, well, let me see what's going to happen with them today. Let's see what God's going to do. No, He comes with a plan. He comes with a plan. So when things are going on in our lives, recognize who's behind it. The enemy, the thief. This is the only reason He's coming. You know, and also, it uses the word and it uses commas in every version that I read. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. It uses the word and it uses a comma. It doesn't use the word or. Okay, and I, okay, y'all, you, okay, okay. Whew. Now, this just blew my mind today because I went back over reading my stuff, and as I was reading that again, that's when he brought this out to me about or. Or is not in there because, okay, when you put it with or, it says steal, kill, or destroy. One or the other will happen. It says and a comma. So he comes to do all three at one time, to steal, kill, and destroy. I've always thought he's going to do one or the other. But the wording doesn't state that in a, God is, and that's just not happenstance. That's God. Yeah, it's on purpose. He wants us to recognize that. But it's commas there, and the word and, it's not or. Or is not there. Every version that I read, if y'all found a version with or in it, I apologize. But the versions that I read, I did not see or. I saw and or commas. He comes to do all three. He does not like us. Okay. That just, y'all may have realized that, and I didn't. I may be late to the game, but that was just some revelation knowledge to me. But God. But God came that we may have life and have that life more abundantly. And again, that key word in that is may. It's a choice. Uh-huh. It's there.
That's right.
It's there. But do we want it bad enough? It's there. Mm-hmm. It is there. But it's up to us to grab a hold to that and take it. Glory to God. You know, and with all of this, you know, having that tenacity to grab it, a hold to that scripture. But we as Christians at times have a poverty mentality or a poverty mindset, whether it's in the physical, mental, spiritual. We have a poverty mindset. Why? Because number one, Jesus wasn't poor in no form or fashion. Physically, mentally, spiritually, he wasn't. But he wasn't because he was God in a man form. But he still had, he was still flesh. So he went through things that we go through. But he went back to his power. He went back to his source. He went away. He stilled away to be recharged. Just like your cell phone. You would not dare let your cell phone go dead. And if you do, you're tripping. You're trying to find somebody's charger somewhere to charge up your phone. I'm just saying. So why do we let ourselves go dead spiritually? Why don't we connect back to our source to get recharged? And God is our source. Coming to the house of God is our source to get reconnected. That's our source. We have to, so we can get out of that poverty mentality, that poverty mindset. Uh-huh. Glory to God. He has so much for us, and he is not a respecter of persons. Whew. Acts 10, 34 to 35. This is the easy to read version. Peter began to speak. I really understand now that God does not consider some people to be better than others. He accepts anyone who worships him, and does what is right. It is not important what nation they come from.
That's right.
That's going to jack a lot of people up right there.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter if your skin is brown. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter if your skin is white.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter if you're anything in between.
Amen.
God is not a respecter of persons. He is not. God has promised us so much in the Bible. There are so many promises out there. But it's up to us to believe it can happen to us. Healing is for us. Wealth is for us. Joy is for us. Peace is for us. Just to name a few. The abundant life is for us Christians. God does not only, and pastors have said this before too, God does not only speak to pastors. God don't only speak to teachers. He don't only speak to prophets. He speaks to all of us.
That's right.
It's just a small, still voice.
Uh-huh.
You have to be have your spiritual ears open to hear him. But you don't know if he's talking if you don't know him. But you have to get to know him and get to know him. You have to get in his word so he can bring out revelation. Just as something as simple as and, commas, and or. That was revelation to me. Something just that simple. But it's up to us. He talks to all of us if we listen. What our Lord God did for someone else, he can do it for us. Stop hating on somebody else's blessing and get your own. Stop hating on someone else's blessing and get your own. Receive it. It's there. I rejoice when good things happen to other folks. When they get them a new house, a new home, some new earrings, some new shoes, a new purse. Whoo, glory. And they're like, Miss Bonnie, we love some jewelry, don't we, Miss Bonnie? And me and my auntie, we love us a good purse. I rejoice. Now, this wasn't always the case now. I'm just saying. But I have learned. I have learned. It does me no good. That is not correct English, but that fits this. It does me no good to be bitter, to be a hater, as they say today, to be salty. It does me no good. We serve the same God. We serve the same God. And what he did for someone else, he'll do it for Wanda. And what he does for Wanda, he'll do it for y'all. I'm just saying, that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. Hallelujah. You know, I haven't quite arrived there yet. I'm getting there. But I have to purpose in my heart.
That's right.
Because we live in a fallen world, so things may creep up, but you got to press it down.
That's right.
You have to do it on purpose. Glory to God. And God doesn't cause bad things to happen to us. Okay, I'm just saying. He doesn't. We live in a fallen world since the fall in the Garden of Eden. Okay? Once Adam ate a bit that forbidden fruit, the enemy became the god of this world.
That's right.
Adam made a choice who he will allow to lead him in that moment.
That's right.
And that one decision impacted all of us.
Yes. That's right.
That one decision. But Jesus. But Jesus came.
Amen.
God does not cause bad things. He really doesn't.
Amen.
We suppress that small, still voice that we may hear. Don't go there.
Uh-huh.
Or we may, little delays that may happen that prevent us from going somewhere. Then we start speeding to catch up, to try to catch up. Then we end up getting an accident or something. That's not God. That's not God. He tried to hold you back.
That's right.
But then you were speeding, so you're breaking the laws of the land. Okay, I'm just saying. That's the law of the land. Don't speed.
Mm-hmm.
When it's raining cats and dogs outside, why you want to go 90?
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right.
Okay, just saying.
Uh-huh.
But we can take our dominion back, y'all,
uh-huh,
because of Jesus. It's our choice, though. Uh-huh. We take our rightful position.
Uh-huh.
We can take our dominion back. I'm taking my dominion back.
Yes.
Glory to God. Kenneth E. Hagin talked about Jesus in this book, actually, that I'm reading, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. And I'm going to speak a lot about this book in my teaching tonight. So I read the first three chapters three times because it was so good, and I wanted to get the good understanding of it, but anyway, so I'm going to reference those first three chapters. I'm going to reference different things that he said in here. But anyway, but he talked about Jesus speaking to the storm when he was in the boat sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Jesus was tired. He was sleeping in the boat. He was just sleeping and everybody else going crazy with the storm. When he told them in the beginning, let us go to the other side.
Uh-huh.
He did say that, right?
That's right.
Am I reading the same? Y'all reading the same Bible I am? Jesus told the disciples, let us go to the other side. Jesus spoke the word, but they didn't believe it when chaos came, when a storm came. So we think God has left us or forgot about us when a storm comes in our lives. Hallelujah. But anyway, but Jesus stated when he got up off his pillow, they say his pillow, the Bible states his pillow was soaking wet. So the water was coming in, but Jesus was at peace, okay? But anyway, Jesus got up. Jesus probably mad at the disciples for waking them up. I'm just saying. But he got up and he said, peace be still. And the wind and the rain obeyed him. They obeyed him. And Kenneth E. Hagin, he stated in the book, if God caused the storm, God would be working against himself and causing it to cease. The same goes for the times Jesus healed people. If he caused the sickness, etc., then turned around and healed them, he's working against himself. Think about it. Mark 3, 24, 25 states, and if a kingdom can be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. This scripture tells us that God cannot work against himself. So why would God bring the storm and then speak to the storm, telling the storm to stop? He's working against himself. So again, God does not cause bad things to happen to us.
Amen.
Some of those things that happen to us is a consequence of our actions, decisions that we have made. It's consequences. Breaking the laws of the land. Just saying. And again, you know, so many things have been spoken in the church and in our homes that is not the word of God.
That's right.
And we believe them unknowingly at times until we should be old enough to read for ourselves. And without really reading it to get an understanding and a revelation from the author, which is God. Kenneth E. Hagin states in his book, we have heard unscriptural things said all of our lives, and even sometimes even preached in the church we attended. He went on to say, what we heard was just the human mind trying to solve spiritual problems, and the human mind cannot solve spiritual problems.
That's right.
The human mind can't solve spiritual problems. And this is not in my notes. A lot of what I've said not in my notes. This is why speaking and praying in the spirit, in tongues, is so critical. Because that's when our spirit man, because we're spirit. Because when God said, let us make man in our image, he was talking about the spirit. Not this physical body thingy. He's talking about the spirit. Let us make man in our image, the spirit. So when we pray in the spirit, we're talking to another spirit. And then we get revelation at times. When we're talking in the spirit, that's when you can solve things on a spiritual level, but you got to talk spirit to spirit at times.
Right.
You got to talk to God. Take it to God in the natural English, and God can help you. Or just speak in the spirit when you don't know what to say. That's what our spiritual language is all about. And I love that I've accepted, because it was there. We just have to receive it. And some people don't talk in the spirit out of fear of what folks may say. Forget people.
That's right.
Okay, anyway.
That's right.
But we must read the word for ourselves and ask God to reveal to us what he is saying. He wrote it. He knows. If we do this, we will know when someone is not speaking biblically. We can teach our children, our grandchildren, as well as others the truth. The word, not just something we heard, but the revelation from God himself. God does not bring bad things to us. I just have to keep saying that. He will and he can use those things for our good, as it states in Romans 8:28. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good, for those who love him, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. So there's a prerequisite to that.
Right.
You got to love him.
Uh-huh.
And you got to be called according to his plan and his purpose. And his plan and his purpose is in his word. That's his plan and that's his purpose. It hadn't changed. And then there are those times where we are praying for things that really doesn't, that, I ain't gonna say really, that does not align with the promises that God has said in his word. And then we wonder why things are not working out as we think that they should. And Kenneth E. Hagin states in the book, in this book, be certain that the promises of God cover what you are believing for. You have a right to believe for anything God's word promises you. But if you get out beyond that, then you are out on a presumption or foolishness. And in this book, he talked about a woman that came to him when he was about 17 or so. He was a preacher. And she told him that God had showed her that she was supposed to marry him. Okay. And so he told her, when God tells me, I will accept it, but God never told him. But just think about, what if he had went on that and married her? That would have messed up everything, possibly. The plan would have been a little bit, he would have went this way instead of going this way, and would have been a little snake road or something instead of being this little straight road. If he had, I'm just saying. But how many times did we do that? And that was foolish. But how many times have we done or said foolish things? Okay. Then there are times we just try to justify our actions or decisions by finding a scripture to support what we've done, such as speaking something into existence. I can have whatever I say. He sure did. He said that. But you can't have that woman's husband. You can't have that man's wife. They ain't yours. Find your own. That job may not be for you. Do your part. Apply for it. Pray about it. And see what God opens for you. But it may not be for you. You may get that job. You may finagle your way into the job. And you'd be the most unhappiest person in the world. And then you're going to wonder why God did that to you. God did not do that to you. He had absolutely nothing to do with that decision that you made. Absolutely nothing. You didn't include him in the conversation.
That's right.
I'm just saying, you didn't. It's not biblical. Stop claiming stuff that's not yours, okay? We Christians on this claim it, name it thingy, but, and that's, I'm not, that's all good. We should claim stuff and we should name it. Claim our healing. Yes, claim it. But don't claim something that's not yours. Find a promise in the Bible that with it to line up with that. And don't get mad if it don't work out. Just keep it moving. God may have just closed that door for you. And then he closed that door and he's opening up a French door. Just that's how I look at it. And also in the book, you know, he states, what does God's word say? Find out what it says. Find the scriptures that promise you the things you're praying for. You are always on safe ground when you are on the scriptures. When you get away from them, you are in a gray area. Some people want to step over into the dark, and whether or not the word of God promised it, they say, I'm just going to believe. Believing God is believing his word. Oh, how necessary it is to know the word of God. Thank God he has given us his word. We need not be in the dark. The entrance of his word is light. In Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word would not lead us wrong in the wrong direction. It would illuminate the path if we are truly focused on the word and we are willing and obedient. These two go hand in hand. We can be willing and not be obedient, or vice versa.
That's right.
You know, because a lot of times, and Kenneth E. Hagin mentioned in the book, with children, you know, they do what we say, but they ain't willing. You know, like I've heard this before, I'm standing, but I'm sitting in my mind. You're being obedient, but you're not being willing. So we have to, yeah. And there are times where we must just take a hard look in the mirror. a very hard look in the mirror. When things are not going well in our lives or in whatever situation it may be. And we need to ask ourselves, truly, are we willing and obedient to what God is asking us to do? Ask ourselves, is there sin in our lives? It's probably going to get real quiet in here. We need to truly examine ourselves to see what is blocking the blessing, what is causing our faith to seem weak, and what is causing us to feel as though we're losing. There are times we are our worst enemy by not doing what we know is right. It is really just us having that free will to make our own decisions, and in those decisions we're not including God. And we're not including him in the decision. Are we not seeking him or his word for direction? No matter how big or how small the decision is, even something, and folks may laugh at this, but even at something like, okay, what should I wear? Because see, God knows what the weather's going to be like the next day. Uh-huh. God knows who you're going to run into. And there's this t-shirt that I have, and it reads, everything is going to be all right. And I purposely make sure if I need to wear that shirt, because someone may need to read that. And I ask God, is this a shirt I need to wear today when I'm going out? Because someone could read that. We never know what folks are going through.
That's right.
Folks sometimes walk around with a faith smile. Faith smile. Because they're faith in it. We don't know what they may be going through at the moment. So we need to be those big or small decisions. Ask God. Ask God. But we must judge ourselves. You know, those secret sins that no one knows about except for God. God knows about it, but it's not like we really have talked to him about them. But he knows. But we haven't talked to him about them and, you know, ask him to forgive us and help us. God knows our heart no matter what we are doing or what we are saying in the natural. We need to check ourselves. Judge ourselves before God judges us. We have enough to deal with within ourselves. I have enough to deal with Wanda. But we always find time to judge others. But we don't find that time to look at ourselves and judge us. We need to look in the mirror at those fingers pointing back to us instead of that one finger we have pointing at someone else. Check ourselves to see if we're the ones behind it. We need to stop taking the recognition from God, things that he's done for us. That's a spiritual sin. God will deal with you quickly. God will deal with us quickly. It's all about him, and it's not about us. Another area is that thing called forgive. Unforgiveness is a blocker of our faith. Just like a sin. It is a sin, that unforgiveness. In Mark 11:23 through verse 25, it states this. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue. Let it go. So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you of your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. And it says stand there, because the Jews they stood a lot in their prayer time, so that's why it says stand. The Jews stood a lot in prayer. But the state of our heart has everything to do with our faith working. You want God to do something. You want to cast that mountain, whatever that mountain is, into the sea. But you have faith, but your heart ain't right. Because you're holding aught against your brother or your sister or against anyone. And you're not willing to forgive, but you want this mountain to be cast into the sea. That mountain is going to stay right there until you release that person from in your heart. Kenneth E. Hagin stated in the book, if we do wrong, we face up to it and say, that is wrong. I judge that. I am going to put that away and not do it anymore. We need to judge ourselves and refuse to practice or to live in sin anymore. You know, he, and I'm going to summarize this. One of the stories that he talked about in the book is a young lady that came to him who was in his ministry, who was in his church. And she came from a good family. They went to church. Every time the church doors opened, they were there. They gave their tithes. Good folk. Read the word. Good folks. Her husband, I think it was her husband's side of the family, they didn't go to church all the time. They were tithers, but they weren't there every time the church doors opened. But things seems to happen for them quicker than it did for her side of the family. And she was like, I don't understand why. We're there all the time. We're both good people. Everybody's good folk. But their prayer seems to get answered quicker than ours. And then they got to talking. He was asking questions. Come to find out, her family hold on to stuff. Hold on to grudges. Just hold on to it until the very last moment where they have to forgive someone. Where his family was quick to forgive, quick to say, my bad, I was wrong, quick to do it, I forgive you, I'm so sorry I did that to you. So their heart was right. Their heart, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. We need to forgive quickly. We need to ask for forgiveness quickly, if it's feasible. Because sometimes, and pastors have talked about this before, sometimes you can't go to the person that you may have wronged. Sometimes you can't because of the situation, whatever the case may be, but you talk to your daddy.
That's right. That's right.
Talk to your daddy because he knows your heart. He'll work on the other person. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. And in this book, these are some confessions that he stated in here, those first three chapters. And I want y'all to repeat after me, even the ones out there in social media world, I want you to say it in your homes, wherever you are. If you're driving, you can say it. That you can hear me, you can say it. Y'all ready? I am a believer.
I am not a doubter.
I do have faith.
My faith works.
My faith is in God the Father.
My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
My faith is in the Holy Bible, the Word of God.
God's Word is true.
I believe the Word of God.
Therefore, I believe God.
God word works.
God's word works.
Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. So do not lose faith in the Word of God. Do not feel defeated. Check to see who or what is behind it. Is it the enemy, the thief? Or have we caused it due to sin or unforgiveness because we've allowed that to just creep in? Are we not praying the promises of God and we're praying our own selfish desires? We believe God can do it, but do we have faith He will do it and trust Him to do it? Just remember to ask yourself who or what is behind it, whatever that it may be in our lives or the situation at the time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope y'all got some out of it. Glory.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.